First John chapter 4 tonight. Okay? First John chapter 4. And I think that we'll just read a few verses from that passage, and then I will share some thoughts with you. Let's begin in verse 7, and I'm going to read down just to verse 10 tonight. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. As I thought about God is love, I thought, you know, if I were the devil and I wanted to derail God's work, I'd try to keep people from discovering the kind of quality of love that they were made for. It's the kind of love that Jesus wants to surround you with and include you in. And our fallen humanity naturally hinders us from realizing that this is his purpose for us. And our personal sinfulness, I think, makes us an easy target for the devil's blinding and his deafening lies. So if I were the devil, I'd do my best to mess up and to corrupt human relationships, every loving relationship. Because human relationships actually point to God's eternal love. If I could get people to the place where they would never know what real love looks like, I could keep them from knowing the very reason for which God created them. If I were the devil, I would try to keep people from understanding that God is love and what that means. Let's pause a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, I do ask that you might open our eyes, that we would begin to understand more of who you are and of your great love and your loving person. Lord, I pray that you would use this meditation, these devotional thoughts, this little Bible study tonight to do just a phenomenal work in our heart and have your way and show us again more and more that we might know you, the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your sufferings, being made conformable to your death, if by any means we might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, resurrection life flowing through us, in Jesus' name, amen. If I were the devil, I would keep people from realizing what it means when the Bible says that God is love. The kind of love that God is a self-giving, it's a sacrificial love, it's a life-giving, it's an enduring love. And the very fact of the matter is this, that when the Bible says that God is love, it is not simply that that is an eternal attribute of God. Love is an attribute of God. But it's more than that. When the Bible says that God is love, it's telling us that this is part of God's eternal nature. This is the very essence of who God is. God's not just loving in his dealings with his creatures or his creation. I mean, the Muslims say that Allah is loving in dealing with his creatures at times. Love is not merely that God is loving in the way that he deals with us, but love is who God is. It's all that God does. It's all that God says. Even when God chastens, he does it in love. Did you know that God was love before there was ever a creation for him to love? Before there were ever creatures that he made for him to love, God is eternal. And when it says that God is love, he was love before creation. What was God doing before creation? He was loving. By the way, God could not have loved before he created if he was not a triune God. There would be no other being for him to love. But the fact that God is triune enables him to be a God that loved before creation. And if you want to see that for yourself, go back with me to John chapter 17 for a moment. And in verse 24, Jesus in his Lord's Prayer, Jesus as he prays before Calvary, to his heavenly Father. He says in verse 24 of John 17, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. Now note this, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You see, God's more than a creator. God is a lover. This is what he was doing before creation. He was a father loving his son. And God would not be love if there was nobody to love. So you have the eternal father of the eternal son finding his identity in his fatherhood, in loving, in giving out his life and his being to his son in the spirit. It is the son loves the father and in the spirit delights to do the father's will. So you have the father as the lover and you have the son as the beloved. This is God who is love before creation. And so I would say this, because God is love and he created you and me, we exist by love. Why would God ever create a universe? Why would God create us? Well, creation is simply the overflow of the loving heart of God. Think of it this way. As a father, God's inherent, outgoing, life-giving, the father-son loving relationship begins to just graciously overflow. The fountain of the father's love for his son becomes so great that it fills up and it runs over to make his son the firstborn among many brethren, the Bible says in Romans 8:29, or Hebrews 2:10, that he might bring many sons to glory. So that fact of the matter is, you exist because of God's love. And he shows the same love on his children that he showed to his son. Look at verse 23 of this same 17th chapter. Jesus prays, Father, I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Isn't that amazing? You and I exist because of the love of the Father. It's God's love that always turns outward, not inward. It always turns outward. That's the God who is love. And you exist by love. Your very physical existence, the fact that you are his creation, you and I exist by love, the love of God. But we can take it a step further. You exist by love, not only through creation, but through salvation, or you might say recreation. Because at the fall, God didn't stop loving, but we did. At the fall, we didn't stop loving, but we stopped loving God. Instead, our love turned inward and our love became misdirected. We were made to love God, but in the fall in the garden, that human love was perverted to love self and anything else but God. And nobody can live without love. People search for love or for things in which they can place their hope. They want to find something that gives them security, that brings them an inner peace. And there's only two places that you can look for that. One is the wrong place, the other is the right place. The majority of humanity look in the wrong place for that. They look horizontally. They look to something in creation that would give them a feeling of security, of inner peace, a sense of well-being. They love other people, or they look for it in a successful career, or in a certain achievement, or maybe a catalog of possessions. But creation will never be man's savior. Creation will never provide for us the love. You won't find it on that horizontal level. You only find it on the vertical level, and that's the right direction. When you entrust your life into the loving hands of this Heavenly Father who created you, then you'll have a hope that will never disappoint or will shame you. You'll have a power to forgive, and you will also be forgiven and be transformed, all of you. And it's found in a God who loves you. And because he's love, it's astonishing, but man's very rejection of God drew forth from him the extreme depths of love, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Or as we read already in 1 John chapter 4, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Sent his son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. He's placed his love on you. And because of that, you can have security and hope in the moment when you feel you have neither. God, who is love, sent his son, the son of his love, to be a sacrifice of love so that you could be rescued by his love and so that you could rest in his love forever. So finally, we ought to conclude, because God is love, if I were the devil, I'd keep people from knowing that and understanding that. And if I were the devil, I would make sure that people did not understand that their very existence was because of the love of God. And if I were the devil, I would also be sure to keep people in the dark about the fact that you and I were made for love. We were made for love. Because as God's imagers, God is love. And as God's imagers, we are created to mirror the triune love of God, to delight in harmonious relationships, to love God and to love one another. Not just any kind of love, but this self-giving love, this sacrificial kind of love, this life-giving kind of love, this overflowing, enduring love, like God's eternal love, God's self-giving love. And to personally experience that, you have to be in a saving relationship with the Lord. And if you are, then you will impart that to the people around you, because that's what you're created for. You're created for love, because God's love is in us. You know, Romans 5 and verse 5, it says that the Holy Spirit, we have hope and we're not ashamed, because the Holy Ghost has shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. As rivers, as torrents, profusely, as those floods that appear so suddenly and are so torrential during the rainy season, in the dry river valleys or wadis, as they're called in Israel. The love of God is shed abroad like that in your heart. The Holy Spirit gives his very self that we might know him, that we might enjoy him, that we might have fellowship with the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit breathes out his life in us, and he enlightens us to know God's love, that warms us to love God more, so that we become so filled with God's love that it causes God's love to flow out of us. So the Holy Spirit, God's love is in us, and then it flows out of us. The Holy Spirit wins our hearts to share our satisfaction and our delight in each other as God's people, as brethren. God's love creates a family, and it makes people designed for fellowship with each other. And when family squabbles take place, the Spirit of God provides reconciliation, a reconciling love. And when family members suffer, the Holy Spirit infuses the heart of his people with brotherly love, so that we not only say, "I'll pray for you," but we dig deeper than that and give of ourselves, so that we can be a blessing to them. This is what the Lord meant when in that upper room he concluded his statements after having washed his disciples' feet with these words: "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another, and by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." You're made for love. God's love is in you, shed abroad by the Holy Spirit. And God's love flows out of you. First of all, of course, to him, and then to the brethren, but also to the lost. God's loving family is outgoing. They're life-giving, like the Father. We can't contain God's love. Like the Son, we go to a lost world to share God's overflowing love with them. This is what I think Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So often, I think we've read this and perhaps have not really understood what Paul was saying when he said how he was compelled by the love of Christ. He says the love of Christ constrains us, because if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And if you live for him who died and rose again, then you're going to be my ambassadors. You're going to be ambassadors for Christ, and you're going to be bringing that message, that word of reconciliation. That's what it's all about. And I believe that what Paul is saying here is, it's not simply that that understanding of Christ's love for me compels me or drives me, but actually I'm thinking that what he's saying is the very love of Christ is in me, and it flows and it pulsates in and flows out through me to those around me, and that's the basis for preaching the gospel, a ministry of reconciliation. That's what Jesus meant when in that upper room again, after his resurrection, he saw those disciples and he said, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. This is what you're made for. You're made for love. God's love in you and God's love flowing out of you. To him, to the brethren, to the world.